What's going on, internet? My name is Wallace Santos, and I am here with the two wonderful, intelligent Mr.
Ron Reed
and Brent Fisher.
I think we need to work on our intro.
I'll be flattered all day.
I'm going to keep you on your toes every time.
We've been basically doing this podcast for the last like half an hour while we were sitting here with Brent, like setting things up. So I kind of feel like we like already did most of the stream. So unfortunately, you guys like missed out on it.
Oh, man, we talked about all sorts of crazy stuff.
It was fantastic.
We talked about YouTubers that never worked and that have to work after they lose their channels. We talked about energy drinks, how I got into the energy drink business. It's kind of crazy.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
It's like this is a weird week, right? So we are first of all, welcome to On the Bench podcast. So this is our weekly live stream / podcast where we talk about the latest in technology, gaming, whatever's interesting to us. You can find it on your favorite podcast platform, or if you're listening and you want to get an opportunity to tune in live and ask questions, we're on every platform. So Facebook, Twitch, Mixer.
Yeah. All slash main gear.
Thankfully, that was the worst when we used to have to like.
That was part of me looking for a name that there's nothing out there,
right?
That was using it.
You know, it's funny. We've had this conversation before, but it is like anytime you're trying to do something, it's almost purely based on finding a domain name at this point,
right?
That's available, which is the worst experience. I think you own way more than I do.
I own like 200 domain names.
Yeah, I only own like 15 or 20.
I felt like at one point like it was going to be like real estate.
It didn't turn out that way, did it?
I'm just paying like some crazy amount of money per month to GoDaddy.
You should probably audit that at some point.
I should probably do that.
So I own like friends' domain names because like we're at a party and I'm like, I'll build you a website and I'll like order like the person's name.
Oh, no.
And then like just pay for it for forever and constantly forget to cancel it.
I'm more like, I'll sell you your domain name for $5,000. Right, Brent Fisher? I own BrentFisher.com.
No, I own BrentFisher.com. I bought it in college, and I'm a poor college student to get a really good price on it from another Brent Fisher.
That is so unfair. I tried to buy RonReed.com, and I emailed the guy, and I was like, you know.
That's
like,
a popular name, by the way.
I know it is.
Yeah.
So the email, the website itself, when you go, is like a Drupal login. Which, if you know web design, like Drupal was a CMS that was popular like 15 years ago. So like, clearly he hasn't used the website. And so I email him, and he's like, he writes me this super verbose thing, and it essentially is like, you know, someday if you run for president, I might let you buy it from me if I agree with your policies.
For $6 million.
Yeah. Like, that's the guy's
running for president, then he's gonna bank out on you for sure.
So Jake wants to know the best and worst domain names that each of you own.
Oh my god. Oh Jesus. Jake,
stop
asking these questions, man. I own drunkceo.com. If you want to buy it, it's $2,000. Let's make me an offer.
Wait, is that best or worst?
That's the worst. I have a bunch, man. I don't know. I don't remember.
I think that's good enough.
I think my favorite is just like my, like I am Ron Reed, just my name. I own like, I just have these ideas. Like, so one day I'm in a conversation with friends and I get mad because Pitchfork, who's like a music review site, writes a bad review of an album I adore. And I read an article that's like the band broke up because the review was bad and it kind of like tanked their career. So
oh,
I get,
really?
I get like, yeah.
That is horrible,
small,
dude.
Because they're a small indie band, so it's like one bad review from a big publication can really like kind of crush.
Oh, no. That sucks.
And so I get like super mad. So I'm like, I'm starting a music review site. And like, so I like buy the domain name, which is reviewzik.com.
And you had it all planned out in your head.
And I set up a WordPress and I put like 25 hours into like figuring out functionality. Oh, yeah. And then I get to the point where I'm done with that part and then just forget about it and permanently pay for the domain name.
And you're like, the content, the content that takes a lot more work.
That's the hard part, right? Right. It's like I get interested in like the fun setup part. And then like, it's like, I kind of moved on quickly.
I have all these business ideas, right? Like I mentioned that I did an energy drink like 10 years ago. So it was called Diesel, Main Gear Diesel. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I was clubbing. Wait, it was actually. Main Gear Diesel? I was in a club, right? And I'm like, I went home and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to make an energy drink for gamers that like clubbing like me.
Oh, gosh.
And I call some dude like in Australia.
I have to go to the wide like cam because Ron is laughing.
I call a guy in Austria. I kid you not. I found this guy's name in Austria that made energy drinks. He said on his website that he left Red Bull.
Is this a big demographic, by the way, like gamer / clubber?
At the time, I thought it would be. I was planning on making this whole thing grow. That's amazing. So I called this guy, and I had every dime that I had in my pocket, I sent to him, right? I'm not even sure, by the way, if I was going to get this thing or not.
To be fair, this was the energy drink boom.
Right. It was right after Red Bull was taken off.
This
was
actually a huge It was deal. Actually yeah. like an exploding industry.
And I like gaming, so I'm saying, you know what? I'm going to make an energy drink for gamers, and I'm going to – the tagline would be got game.
Okay.
Got milk. Got game. Mm-hmm. And I sent them the money, and it was a lot of money. Okay? It was a lot of money. It was everything I had. it was stupid. And 6 months later, I get 2 containers worth of energy drinks show up.
Like shipping containers. When you say containers.
40-foot containers.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. I had no idea where to stick all these energy drinks. So I just put it in my mom's basement. We had Main Gear. We were a small shop at the time, and we had a basement. So you would go to the Main Gear basement, and it was just full of energy drinks.
Oh my gosh!
And now I'm like, oh shoot, there's an expiration date on these things. I gotta sell them.
Was this the most productive you've ever been in your entire life from all of the energy that you were consuming?
This is the most depressed I've been in my life.
I want to hear chat's best names for gaming energy drinks.
There you go.
I want to get some creativity out of our community.
Best today. Names for gaming energy drinks, especially if you're on Periscope. Our Periscope viewers are very shy.
I know. Chat. Periscope, we want to hear names for gaming,
but we do see it.
Gaming energy drinks. Okay, so there's some topics I wanted to talk about today, kind of as a post-E3 conversation. We covered so much stuff last week. And I think there's some stuff we can kind of go a little bit more in depth with that we've covered over the last couple streams. I wanted to start with something very specific because we've gotten a really crazy response to this. So you, Wallace, you put out a Medium post this week talking about the Mac Pro, kind of Apple's Pro ecosystem.
More of Apple's disconnect from the Pro ecosystem.
And it got a lot of it actually got a lot of pickup because it's a bit of a controversial is not the right word, but you definitely used some honest words in this. So we talked about the Mac Pro announcement a little bit after it got announced. But your take was kind of more on Apple as a whole and their how they've kind of approached the Pro market.
Yeah, I think they've been missing for a long time, man. They're underserving that market. And the difference between the Pro user and the consumer is you can educate the consumer on how to use a product and show them the light. Basically show the person the best way to go about something, like a phone, how to use a phone, right? Is it like a flip phone or can you show them how to use apps and things like that? And it picks up, right? So you educate your customer base and they end up doing what you're training them essentially what to do, right? Yeah. The Pro market is completely different.
Yeah, definitely.
Those guys, you don't change their workflows. You don't change their habits. That's why they're professionals.
I know Brent and Wendell here, a Photoshop update came through that basically changed a keystroke, one keystroke,
right?
And it ruined their lives for a couple months.
Yeah, so you hold Shift in Photoshop whenever you want something to stay proportional when you're resizing it, and Photoshop was we'll just make it easy for you, and you don't have to hold Shift when using it and resizing from a certain angle. But then, you still have to hold Shift in other places, and it was just ridiculous.
And to your point, it's so ingrained in what you do, you can't really mess with that stuff.
Right, and to an extent, you can't have a closed wall garden. Like, it just can't be your way in that space, right? Because there's a whole ecosystem of components and add-ons and software and everything else that comes along with the package that people specifically tailor to their needs or to their workflow. And I mean, starting with that trash can, right? I like the way it looks, by the way. So I say trash can just so people can know what I'm talking about. And for the record, I love Apple products. I think they look beautiful.
No, yeah, right? They
like,
definitely.
The industrial design is beautiful. Like I have an immense appreciation for the company.
Yeah, no, 100%.
And that was like when that happened, I just like couldn't stop scratching my head, like thinking, what are they doing? Right. And it was just all downhill from there. Right. Then there was Final Cut, you know, and it was just the software, they're butchering the software. That system specifically had major, you know, thermal issues. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Yeah. So essentially it was thermal throttling components. Right.
Yeah. 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 So, you know, and now they've heard the market, right? Or they've heard the pros. And
this is their answer for being quiet for, you know, a long time, essentially.
And they launched this computer that, while I think it's an engineering masterpiece, I really like the design. I also think it's a big miss.
Yeah.
For sure.
I agree. So I think one of the things that that they kind of didn't get is that pro doesn't mean the same thing it used to, right? So like pro doesn't mean, hey, I have only like $8,000.
Mm-hmm.
Like pro is such a wide spectrum now of what pro means. There's, you know, and I don't mean prosumer where it's like, you know, advanced hobbyist. There's
the professional. The guys buying $50,000 video cameras from like Red Digital Cinema.
Right.
And those are the guys that we're talking about.
But there's professional YouTubers who have a full time job and also do YouTube professionally.
Oh, yeah.
And that person isn't necessarily going to get an $8,000 PC. And if you look at the previous Apple workstations, like, they kind of covered a much wider spectrum. And this, starting at $6,000, only Xeon, to me, kind of missed that entire subset of professional.
Yeah, man. It's I just have so much to say, and I don't want it to come out as if I'm like being overly negative about it, but I think.
Well, you have an iPhone, you have AirPods, you have an iPad.
Yeah, like I said, I'm a big fan of the company.
Like, you love their electronics, their design, but they're like.
They just missed the mark on this one. Really.
I think someone was smoking a lot of pot.
This is California.
Seriously, they're like,
they might, they might have been drinking, you could say, extra life energy drink, according to Cirrus Capo.
the price is absurd.
Yeah, it's
for like a pro studio, it could be fine, but like for anybody who's like an independent professional, like say you're an independent photographer, like that's just.
But
you don't
even
make
a pro
that
studio, kind of, right? Like you're like, why would you? I mean, what is it? Do better
price
than
to performance what? Is definitely well, off.
And so that's your point is if you look at the specs, right? So you like Xeon professional graphics card, advantage of Xeon is ECC memory. Like people buy into Apple for the whole ecosystem, and to your point, they've kind of like beaten down that by gimping like Logic and Final Cut, but I don't think people are buying a Mac to do like weather simulations. Like the stuff that Xeon becomes important isn't really in that vein anyway.
Right.
So like, you know,
it's really ECC memory.
Right.
It's really the
for the most like that's the big advantage. There's other things like encryption and like security, like enterprise features, but the average you know professional. They care about performance and reliability. And so in the media article you did like a breakdown of like specs, and we showed you can get a Vibe with like a 9900K, which is 8 cores, 16 threads, right, and the same specs for like $2,100. Or you could get a Vibe with an 18 core, like crazy, 18 core, 36 thread, 2080 Ti, like a 2 terabyte drive and 64 gigs of RAM for the same cost as the starting price of the Mac Pro. Right. And so that's a big part of the problem is like the configuration is unnecessarily limited for who I think their actual customer should be.
And if you were specifically investing in a Mac Pro because of the Apple software that was exclusive to the Mac Pro,
right?
They're gimping that too.
Right. No, it's
so now what's the point?
So many people.
Aperture's gone completely. Like
it's completely gone.
Yeah. And I lost my voice.
He's like some balls.
I'm good.
Brent's just so upset about this.
Some good stuff, it's, by the way. I'll pass on the balls, but the legend of energy, a drink to the past would be good.
So there's still
to weave these in here.
There's still some people that use Final Cut professionally, but it's mostly because they like haven't invested the time to learn the Adobe suite, which is so much more powerful, robust. You know, if you look at what Adobe announced this year at what do they call their event?
Adobe Max.
Adobe Max, like
right.
AI powered, like smart, like replacement.
Dude, the stuff like, is like cutting out stuff in the pictures, cropping and auto filling it in.
It's amazing. Video and stuff.
Yeah, and it's like using this. It's all being.
It's amazing.
Computed on CUDA, right?
So like, it's amazing.
Like my buddy Jason from NVIDIA, like he took a photo of his daughter, and there's like a light pole in the background, and it was like this beautiful photo. She was graduating, right? And like he's like, dude, I just clicked it, and like the thing disappeared, and it filled everything up.
You just draw a box around it, and then it basically looks at what's next to the next to it, and just fills it in. So I would recommend. I don't know if we can post a link in chat to the Medium article.
Yeah, totally can.
It's a good read. Goes in a little bit more detail, but I would definitely check that out. Or you can go to hothardware.com. Our friends over there, they
great hardware site, by the way. If you guys like gaming, like the culture, and
my
like,
favorite for reviews.
Yeah, man, they do such a good
those
job.
Guys are great.
I'm
and
a
if,
fan of those
if
guys.
You just if you go and check it out, they posted a link to his article.
Oh, Jake beat me to it.
Oh, Jake is.
Well, he got your Medium post. There's the hardware post. Teamwork.
There's something else I want to talk about this week, and more of like a framed conversation around the gaming community. So there's like a feel good story this week where the No Man's Sky, I think it was the subreddit, read a GoFundMe to buy a billboard to thank the developers
of your favorite game
outside. So
you're so hot on that game, dude. I remember. Don't try to change the story here. I mean, when that game came out, Ron's like, "Oh my God, this is it. This is the second coming. Oh my Jesus. Oh my Lord." And it was crazy. He was so hot on that game. I remember that. You're like, you're flying into like planets when there's nothing there, and you're upset. I remember that.
To be fair, that game was hyped up to be like the game to end all games.
Well, Ron hyped it up on the internet. Well, him.
I want to give like the story a little bit of context for people who didn't follow it. Although I would imagine most of you did. But basically, No Man's Sky was like a procedurally generated like space exploration game, and so it was a very small team called Hello Games, and Sony basically took them on. I was going to publish the title, and Sony like hyped this game up so much. It was like E3 center stage, end of the show.
Yeah, that was probably game of the show that year.
It like they Sony hyped it so much, and you could
somebody clearly didn't play it.
The thing about procedurally generated stuff is like it's not curated or created. Right. It's just like random, and random isn't good most of the time.
So you could start to tell during the development of the game that something was wrong, because Hello Games kept doing interviews. Sean Murray, I think, is the CEO.
Sean Murray or Murphy?
I think it's Murray. I could be incorrect. Chat can correct me. But basically, they were like super vague. They would never say anything was a feature of the game. They never answered any questions. You really didn't know what the game was. So the game comes out, and it is just sparse, like underdeveloped, clearly not like as a $15 indie game, you would have been like, this is great. This is very cool. As a $60 AAA title that Sony is like, you know, acting like this is like a console seller.
You know what I don't understand about that?
Flopped.
You know what I don't get about that? why wouldn't they just make a limited amount of planets to start? And over time, introduce newer planets and expand the universe.
So their vision for No Man's Sky was kind of the fact that you would be the one discovering everything. So there's like millions of people playing, and you're experiencing things for the first time in the community. And then the idea was occasionally you'd find something someone else discovered, and it would be like, oh my God, like somebody was actually here. This is amazing. So that was kind of the idea. The problem actually wasn't the planets, to be honest. It was that there wasn't enough like gameplay mechanics around it. So the long story short, the community erupted. People were livid. There were people taking photos of the studio from the street and being like well, they're not fixing their game. There's no one in there.
Those guys.
Screw that.
And what I found interesting is like Hello Games really didn't do anything publicly for a while.
Yeah, they went dark.
They went completely dark. And it's like, what is going on? Like the community is angry. And then they finally are like, here's what our plan is.
We got a patch.
And here's an update that adds a bunch of stuff.
We have some extra stuff for you.
And they have continued to do that since the game release to the point where the game today is nothing remotely like the game when it came out. And these are not paid. This is not DLC. These are free updates to anyone who bought the game. And I've played it since then. And it's...
What's the name of the studio again?
Hello Games.
This live stream is sponsored by Hello Games. just kidding.
They did a really good like redemption on that though, because it was a multiplayer update.
Yeah.
And then like it also came they to added other
a,
consoles.
And a building update. Yeah. And like and I've gone back and since played it, and I love the game now.
Is it that good now?
It's if you're like a exploration Minecraft kind of like build your own fun kind of person, it's a great game.
It's still by no means an action game. Like no. Sony was playing it up to
no,
me.
It's basically like
it's high definition Minecraft.
Kind of. You can like pick a home planet and build a base on it. And
maybe
then,
chat can help us.
And then you can build a fleet out and then send your fleet on missions to get your resources to do more stuff.
Can you create a club and sell energy drinks out of the planet?
You probably could.
For like a dollar, like or for crypto.
For crypto.
You charge people to get in your club.
For Calibri or whatever.
Sorry, the Facebook
one.
We can talk about that too later. But
so the reason I wanted to bring this up is we had a separate conversation this week about like the gaming community, and kind of like you know problems of toxicity and things like that. And I thought it was an interesting thing to see a community go from like pure hatred to like this guy is the greatest guy ever and we love him. You know, we're kind of building our own community here through Be Next, where we're trying to kind of focus on positivity. And I was curious what your guys' thoughts were on like what you think we could do to make the gaming community as a better. And the same for chat. Like, in your opinion, what do you think are the biggest problems with the gaming community, and what do you think we could do to make it better for everyone?
I think just like toxicity can spread, positivity can also spread. And it starts from someone, right? So if we're sitting here dropping F-bombs and just talking about negative things, I think our following is going to start to feel the same way and possibly just talk negatively, at least in our chat.
No, right? That's a huge point.
It's very easy to like go with the crowd.
Yeah, but if you're saying, hey, look, let's just leave the bullshit aside and let's talk about cool stuff. Most people kind of get in that mode, right? Mm-hmm. So it seems like, and I have no context besides what you're expressing here.
Yeah.
It seems like someone said, wow, man, these guys are doing a good job keeping us up to date. We should really thank them. And it seems like it spread, and multiple people felt the same way.
They raised like $4,000 or something.
It's almost at, I looked at the crowdfund. It was almost at $6,000.
Oh, is it
six
now?
Grand is the goal.
Yeah, they're going to buy them like pizza and beer too.
And they're going to donate the rest of the money.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
You know, we talk about the gamer stigma and how people think that gamers are a bunch of assholes on the internet. And go to PAX.
Yeah, 100%
agree. And meet the gamers. And meet the people that are behind the keyboards. And everybody is a freaking sweetheart. Now, I think there is a maturity level that I think humanity needs to go through.
Yeah.
Like on the internet.
Internet culture is pretty rough, especially with younger kids.
It's tough, but they don't know what they're doing. So it's a lot of young kids don't have direction, and then they go and watch a PewDiePie video, and he's trolling. Now, PewDiePie, he's making millions of dollars, and the more he trolls, the more attention he gets. That's his business,
right?
And then they want to be like him in real life. But if you actually meet Felix, which is PewDiePie, the guy is like the sweetest person you can talk to.
Right.
100%.
Right? So he's a comedian, right? So like I think once people or younger kids start to understand that, and for example, you're going to educate your kids differently than how my parents educated me, because my parents had no idea what I was doing on the internet.
Yeah. I mean, like, my parents didn't either. Yeah.
Right? So there's no way they can have a conversation to me about it.
They didn't even understand the internet.
They had no clue, right? There's no way they could have said, hey, let me sit down. Let me talk to you for a second here. They didn't know. I was the first one to really like go online in my household, right? So, but now, once I have my kids, I'm going to make sure that we do an internet 101, right? Like,
no, you're going to have to. And I think this is like just a cool kind of case study to see how a company can kind of handle a situation, right? It wasn't their fault, but they stood by their product. And I think that's important as a company to believe in what you sell and stand by it regardless. Even if people are throwing insults at you, stand by what you worked on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's also important that gamers in general, like if there's something that maybe you don't like a certain game, just leave it alone. Like I can't tell you how many... Like, because I love playing Destiny, and I'll go in and I'll go to every Destiny sucks, article. Every article, first comment, people still play this game? Yeah, get out of here. You don't. Nobody cares. Like,
it's like Brent and like two others playing.
No, you're right. I love having like engaging conversations. One of my favorite subreddits, I really don't like the gaming subreddit, just / gaming.
Why not?
But it's that normal kind of like trolly, it's all memes. Mm. Like, but there's one called True Gaming, which is like in-depth conversation about games. So
that's cool.
Like whether it's a post where you dive into like the mechanics of jumping and how it impacts like how you interact or like storytelling or stuff like that. And I love critical conversation, but you can do critical conversation without like being mean-spirited. You know, you can have like an intelligent conversation. And I love our community for that. Like, I feel like for the most part, you guys are very engaged and ask good questions. And even if it's something we disagree with, you ask politely. And I appreciate that. And I feel like that's the kind of thing we want to grow.
I mean, behind every company and behind every game, there's people, there's human beings.
A lot of people forget that.
Yeah. And like, man, like it's really tough. Like, imagine this guy from Hello Games.
Yeah.
Imagine Hello Games. He said, you know what, man, this sucks. I'm not going to design a game anymore. I'm going to quit the business, right? Like, I'm sure he probably thought about that for a while.
Oh, there's right? definitely.
And then everybody would have lost.
Yeah, especially after, like, taking a risk and making a game that's totally different than anything that's ever been made before.
You want innovation. Sometimes it's going to fall flat.
And making games is hard. Like, at the end of the day, you can make an amazing game, and it could just not be fun.
That's true.
That sucks.
Yeah, those guys work 20 hours out of the day, man.
Oh, yeah. When they go through crunch mode,
unbelievable.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy how much they work.
And they don't even know if they're going to make money or not. You're right.
Yep.
Yeah. So they might be busting their ass for 6 months, a year, 2-3 years. And then they release their product, and it sucks.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see what they do next. And I'll probably jump back into No Man's Sky. I think there's an update coming out or just came out.
Can I start playing that?
I mean, of course.
No, I mean, like, is it too late for me to join the party?
No. You start. It's single player for the most part. So it's really like a chill.
I can't kill nobody.
You can kill little robots that try to kill you occasionally for like screwing up the environment.
All right, perfect. So I got guns and stuff.
There's like a universal. Kind of police.
Yeah, they're called like sentries, and they fly around and protect. And some planets are like super hostile, and you like look at them funny. They attack you. Other planets, you can just kind of like destroy everything, and they don't care.
Yeah.
It's
definitely not like a high paced action.
No.
It's like a chill game.
It's a chill, like relax. Like, oh, I'm gonna go like try to scan all the animals on this planet.
So Destiny is better.
Destiny is like Destiny's would, more. If well, you if you like want to shoot things, play Destiny.
Yeah.
Done.
So more from E3. We kind of talked a little bit last week about this is the E3 of streaming platforms, or E3 of like game services and streaming platforms.
There's definitely big changes on the horizon.
Absolutely. So you have Google announcing Stadia and all the details. You have Microsoft with Game Pass and xCloud. And then you have like Ubisoft with their game subscription service. I wanted to talk more about the streaming stuff. We touched on it very briefly, but we didn't really talk deeply into it. And I'm curious what you guys' thoughts are, and especially chat, if this is even like appealing to our audience. Like, where do you see game streaming? Because it's going to happen, and it's you know, it's here. Wallace, where do you think that this is going to kind of fit in to the gamer? Like, who do you see this working for, not working for?
There's like a cultural phenomenon that happens within PC gaming, right? Mm-hmm. Where, you know, it's just amazing where you're decking out your computer. There's like a pride thing that's going on. There's like a...
It's a lifestyle, right?
So it's almost like saying, hey, Uber just launched in the market. Are you going to sell your hot rod and stop racing?
That's actually a great, what I need a car for.
That's fair.
That's an amazing comparison.
Right? I mean, yeah, I'll still use Uber whenever I'm drinking, right? Like if I go out to dinner and I have a couple glasses of wine, I'm going to grab an Uber. But I'm not going to sell my hot rod at home, that's for sure.
Wow, that's a great way to describe it.
So, like, I think the emotions and I think the experiences will vary. Not that you won't be able to get entertained with Stadia or with the Xbox streaming service. And there's also, like, I was actually calculating. So, I pre-ordered the Stadia just so I can, you know, just because I...
No, you would test everything.
I'm like that. But, it was $140, I believe, or $130.
I think so for the
$140.
I think $130.
$130, and then I need to pay $10 a month, so that's going to be an additional $120.
Yeah, I think you get the first year free with that $140, though, right?
No.
So the $10 a month is basically for the premium tier, which lets you access 4K game streaming, and then they're going to have a library of games that you have access to with it.
So
I think there's only one game at launch.
So that's on top of like a fiber internet connection,
right?
I'm assuming, for 4K game streaming.
Yeah, so you need... I believe I'm... Double check the facts for me, Brent, if you have a minute. But so you're looking at $250 to get going, right? Yeah. Guess how much an Xbox costs.
Yeah, well, you still have to buy the games, too.
So, exactly. So then you need to buy the games. Now, you might get some free games and stuff that's included in the
monthly
package.
It's
going to
be a handful. They're launching with one.
With
just
one
Destiny.
In the beginning, yeah. So it's not that cheap, right? I think most people thought, you know, game streaming is going to basically do what Netflix did to entertainment, to games. And I think initially it's not going to be that cheap. And the cost of the infrastructure cost of running these servers, even for Google, is immense.
So it's you get 3 months in the Foundry edition.
Okay, so you're still looking at I'm gonna spend $220 the first year.
Still expensive,
yeah. Well, and there's some challenges with it. So I saw someone break it down. A 4K connection it requires a 35 megabit per second connection, and you're going to use 1 terabyte of bandwidth, which is what the cap is for most people,
mm-hmm.
in 65 hours in a month.
So
that's like best case.
And then
case
you go down to 1080p
scenario.
Or
no, your ISP's bandwidth connection.
ISPs do that.
Yeah,
for home internet?
Yeah, throttling.
Most ISPs have a pretty high limit. Most people don't hit it because...
My ISP has that?
It depends. So, like, if you're lucky in one of the three cities that has Google Fiber, you're good forever.
Right. I don't think Verizon does. I think Cablevision does.
Most cable companies
do. Comcast does.
Comcast definitely does.
It's a terabyte.
Verizon says they don't. But they slow your stuff down a certain point.
Based on my personal experience of Gigabit Fios, we definitely don't have a bandwidth.
Yeah, Comcast just has a cap where it like just Ron's done like with the
loading up
the
his Flex server all day, every day.
I'm not
downloading.
We rent out our downstairs to a good friend who operates the Plex server.
Uh huh. Okay. Does he also work for Verizon by any chance?
No. That's like a big challenge, right? And then the other part of that too is like, to get the 4K gaming is actually like 35 down is. Across the United States, like we're spoiled, right? We live in outside of New York City. It's good infrastructure here.
It's funny. My brother moved to San Diego, and his internet is always taking a crap. And I'm like,
California is weird in that like you'd think like San Jose has the best internet in the world.
Yeah,
it's like the worst. Like you can't get fiber anywhere.
I thought everywhere was like here.
It's
but then when I lived in Idaho, I had the fastest internet in my life.
That's crazy. Like,
so I think that's definitely a challenge. I'm interested in Xbox's model. So xCloud is going to work slightly differently in that, first of all, they're basically putting Xboxes in a data center. So they're
yeah, that's underpowered.
The idea is to switch to Scarlett, which will be 4K. But they're starting with regular Xbox, I think.
But from a development cost, there's no additional.
Right, it's just their own hardware.
Yeah.
But where it gets a little more interesting with Xbox.
By the way, Chad is now like flexing their different internet speeds.
I guess the fastest would be fiber. Yeah. So the other thing that's interesting with Microsoft's model is they have Game Pass. So Game Pass gives you a library of games for $15 a month.
Mm-hmm.
So technically. And they haven't clarified any of this, by the way, but technically, if you could stream your Game Pass games, that's pretty cool. Like $15 a month, you get a bunch of first-party Xbox games. But you're also going to be able to stream from your personal Xbox at home to another other devices, which is also interesting.
Yeah, you tried that at home?
It was mixed. So
exactly.
I have a Steam Link, and I have a NVIDIA Shield handheld and Shield tablet.
I wonder, would Wi-Fi 6 change that experience, though?
It'll help.
Possibly. But here's the thing, though, is I have a Steam Link that is hardwired, and my PC is hardwired, and it was still not the best experience.
No, you'd rather just buy a 50-foot HDMI cable and run it across the room.
Right. And I only did that because for some reason my HDMI cables kept like breaking. Like I had a bunch of long ones and they only last me like 6 months. It's probably because I was running them under a radiator, but that's a different conversation.
Yeah, that'll do it.
So I think that somebody else announced a game streaming service. I think it was Bethesda.
Ubisoft announced like a game.
Ubisoft maybe.
It's EA's.
I think it was Bethesda then.
They might have announced something.
And I think they're the ones doing it correctly.
Let me tell you why. I don't know what their model was.
From a technological standpoint, they're implementing the hooks inside the game.
So, with
like Google Stadia and then like the NVIDIA streaming service.
Yeah, it was Bethesda.
It was Bethesda, right? Yeah. So essentially, when I move my character, it goes back to the computer in the data center moves the character.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And then that feed gets sent back to me, right? Now, if it's implemented into the game, you're actually moving the character
locally. Which is a big difference.
Yeah, so I think it'll help.
It should.
With latency.
So Xbox's xCloud does the same thing. In that anything that's like latency dependent is going to be rendered on the local box, and then stuff like skybox and environment or like leaf foliage where it doesn't need to be like exactly tied to controls will be
that's the way to do it.
The only disadvantage with that is
why I think Stadia has the advantage of
you can Chrome browser anywhere and you could play.
But like there's disadvantage. You're making compromises with that.
And then how strong is that Chromecast Ultra? Like, I mean, essentially
it's only playing video if you think about it. So if it's only playing back 4K video
and then sending a controller input,
it should be enough, but there might be. I mean, my Chromecast at home, sometimes I go to send a YouTube video and like
it's like stutters,
it hangs up at the beginning of it.
Yeah.
And so like you're right, I think So where I see this kind of stacking up is I look at this a little bit like movies. So you have, if I want to watch a movie, I have a couple options. I can stream a movie through Netflix. That movie is going to be at a relatively lower quality. I can rent the movie, which, you know, through a service where it kind of caches a higher quality version to my device. Mm-hmm. Or I can go and buy a Blu-ray if I want to watch it clearly. Now, well, during Game of Thrones, you kind of experience this. Like,
oh, my God.
Streaming services, like, it's not all it's cracked up to be when it comes to video. You, like, there's things you want to watch in the highest quality possible.
It was really frustrating watching the final season of Game of Thrones. The dark scenes, all the macro blocking. Is that what it is?
It's so frustrating.
It was super frustrating. Yeah. I mean, just like the bleeding and you know, in addition, expose how crappy my television panel was too, which is great. Because I hate it. Yeah, I mean, you're right, man. Like, I'm the type of guy where, like, something like that, I want to watch it in the highest quality possible. And I think for gaming, too, like, for gaming, I think it'll be good for our business. People are saying, hey, you should be concerned, right? PC gaming is going to go stream. I was like, no, I think it's going to enable more people to game.
Especially Stadia, where you don't require any hardware at all.
Yeah. But people want to try games. Oh, my God, this is amazing. And then they're going to look for that next level. When they get their ass whooped by the other guy with no lag.
Yeah. Oh, exactly.
Well, it's the Fortnite model, right? People play on their phones, and then they play on their Switch or their console, and then they eventually get a PC if they really get into it.
And that was going to be kind of my point, is I foresee, in all likelihood, the game streaming stuff will destroy the console market or replace the console market. Console players will be streaming their games. I think that's 100% the direction it's going to go.
So we have that. In addition, I think he's right. In addition to all that, and we're assuming the PC gaming hardware space is going to sit as a standstill, right? And it'll be compared technology to technology. We're going to have technologies like ray tracing, which your streaming service won't have. You're going to have, like, just much...
Modding your game. Like, part of the PC advantage is the fact that, you know, I can... If I'm playing Minecraft, I can install a bunch of mods and, like, control experience. Look at Skyrim. Skyrim is a game whose success was based on the modding.
It's horrible. It's, like...
I agree with you. I'm not a fan of Skyrim. Bram was getting controversial earlier for a second.
Yeah, I felt the jab, but he completely missed it. Like, Bram just, like, completely deflected it. So, yeah,
no, I'm actually not a big fan of Bethesda's Open World games.
Oh, no, you used to play... I thought it was Skyrim, but it was the other game.
No,
right?
The Witcher 3.
The Witcher 3.
Yeah, no, I don't like Bethesda's Elder Scrolls games. I'm actually not a big... I hate first-person sword combat. It's, like, incredibly awkward and not fun. But, yeah, no, I agree with you. And I don't think PC gaming, like we're all here because we want to play things the best. We want the best performance. We want to be competitive. Yeah. That doesn't go away. So
that's right.
What we do doesn't change.
Dude, and then in addition to all that, there's, like, faster refresh rate monitors coming out next year that you don't even know. Like, it's amazing. It's going to get even better.
Yeah, like, going from 60 hertz just to 144 hertz, like, changed completely how I play Overwatch now.
Yep.
It's totally
it's different. Crazy, man. So, yeah.
So, kind of as a segue from cloud gaming, there's a story this week about Telltale Games got sold or they went under about a year ago, and so games have been starting to coming down from older platforms. So, if you had bought it was Minecraft Story Mode, right, mm-hmm. on an Xbox 360, mm-hmm. They're pulling the game down off of the Xbox 360.
But hold on. Do they erase it from your local
installation? They don't erase it from your local install. However, once it's removed from sale on a 360 because of the way the 360 was made, you will never be able to download it again. So they basically raised the price of the game in the store to $100 to prevent people from buying new copies because they can't sell it.
Right.
But to allow people to download it. And,
Why can't they just make it a free download?
They have to pull it off because of licensing and stuff. Because the studio's gone.
Yeah.
So I remember when music streaming came out. There's a pretty big debate online about owning your stuff. And what is the impact of no longer owning your media? And I think most of us here abandoned purchasing music, we do a streaming service, but we're going to have this problem with games now. Like, you know, these people who had bought a game, and yes, it's an older console, but they paid for something, are after, I think it's tomorrow,
well,
they not going to be able to download it ever again.
So they can download, it's just like if you buy a CD. If you lose it, that's your problem, dog.
Except like, that you bought it digitally, but yeah, the expectation of like not having to have it installed, and now you can't download it from their store anymore.
So download it one last time, my friend. I mean,
sorry, I just saw Hamilton and saw all the lyrics of like the song "One Last Time" were just flowing through my head. Right.
I just watched that. I hear that's a good.
It's Broadway show. So good.
Yeah.
Can we just, if you,
Brent, we'll do a separate review stream.
If you have only three things you can do in New York City, Hamilton should be on that list, hands down.
How'd you get? I hear it's still hard to get tickets. Still
my
today.
My wife's employer gave it as a birthday gift to her.
That's a heck of a birthday gift.
Great employer.
And she was nice enough to take me instead of somebody else.
Oh wow, what a good wife.
So Wallace, you don't see this as a problem at all, as far as like
I just see that, you know, how old is the game?
It's an Xbox 360, so we're talking like five years old. Yeah.
So it's a 5-year-old game, and basically, here's your chance to download it and keep it on your hard drive, or else forever hold your peace. I mean, just.
So let me give you something you connect with a bit more. So Valve goes under, and they sell Steam to Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And they pull Half-Life 2 off the store.
Right.
And you own Half-Life 2, and you can no longer play it.
I can play it.
You can no longer play it legally.
you know, if they gave me a chance to give me a final download and say, okay, you can now download the game, or it's going to go away.
It was what? It was
save
a,
it on your
it
hard
was a
drive.
Week, I think they gave you.
Yeah.
A week sucks.
I think it was roughly a week.
It should be, like, in my opinion, longer roughly than
a
that. Week.
So it's just, it's... There's a lot of things changing in gaming right now, and especially PC has kind of gone away from CD for a while.
I
for
mean,
mass.
It's not even – it hasn't been relevant for
But,
10
like,
years.
Disc-based gaming disappeared with this last gen – or this current generation
for
of consoles.
For the most part, yeah. Most people are buying games digitally.
Like, it was – it used to be 20% digital and 80% physical, and that's flipped now.
Oh, so those are the actual numbers?
Yeah.
Oh, that's super interesting.
So it's just – like in terms of like preservation. So like a good game, for example, you can't go back and play like year one Destiny. Like that game doesn't exist.
That's interesting. They even like, I remember when it happened, didn't they replace voice acting in the original Destiny?
Yeah. So originally the ghost, who's like the little AI that follows you around, was Peter Dinklage,
which is awesome.
Peter Dinklage is awesome. His performance in Destiny was less than awesome.
Never mind.
He did not want to be there. So they replaced it with Nolan North, but like they re-recorded over everything. And so like you can't go play that original.
And it's a patch that they pushed to the game. So like that version of the game isn't gone. And so you, what triggered this was there's an anime called Evangelion that got posted to a streaming service, and they removed a credit song from it, and fans are upset.
Yeah.
I remember, so one of my favorite TV shows of all times is Scrubs. And one of the things I loved about Scrubs is the production team was like, they're like music nerds and they love music. And so they kind of like structured scenes on the show to match a song. So like the song is almost like an important part of what's going on the TV. So when they did the DVD release, they lost the licensing to a couple of those songs. So when you go to watch Scrubs on Netflix, those scenes are like ruined for me because I watched it originally on
TV. Are they really that ruined?
No, I started watching Scrubs and it like I go on YouTube to watch the original scene and it's totally different.
It changes the whole like tonality, emotion, everything. I'll show you an example. Like I said I'm a huge Scrubs fan, but like Brent, you agree, like it's like a, and that,
yeah,
that sucks. Like the way that I can get that content now, I mean, I can go buy the DVD And it's going to have the same problem.
Well, with Evangelion, you have to buy like three different sets because that thing is just like a mess to begin with.
Yeah, yeah.
I think like a solution, another solution would be for the current holding company of the bankrupt company.
I don't think anyone owes them.
Oh, is it just completely
gone?
That's
actually part of the problem, is it's like they're just gone.
So who are you going to be mad at?
Everyone.
Right? So but another solution is really like if the company's being acquired and they're going to take the game down, offer a buyback.
Right? Yeah.
So like you can go to GameStop and sell your game for like a third of the price. Same thing. So like however they value.
Sponsored by GameStop.
Yeah. Would they give you like 1/10 of the price of your game or something like that? And then they sell it back to you for like 80%.
Yeah. But they say, oh, no, it's new. We just had to open the case up for the display. That always makes me so angry. Yeah.
I hated saying that when I worked at GameStop at 16 years old, by the way. It's the worst.
It's an interesting thing to think about. I remember when I originally got into streaming services, like one of my favorite albums of all time up until like literally a month ago was not on any streaming platform because there was like a rights argument with the label and the artist, and it got like in this limbo for years. And so I just couldn't listen to one of my favorite albums because I had like moved to a streaming service.
Was it really your favorite album?
Yeah. Yeah.
No. Or are you just being like the internet right now?
No, it's in
my favorite album of all my life.
I would say realistically top five.
I don't really rate.
So it's that good.
Number one, but it's top.
So it was
five.
Really good.
It was really great, but I couldn't listen to it like for forever. Now Google Music allowed me to kind of upload a rip version that I have, so I was able to.
That you paid for.
I actually did. I owned all of their albums. It's from when I was 18, and I was still like
At 18, like, you were paying for albums.
I didn't have fast internet.
Ah, okay.
I had dial up at the time.
Just busting your chops, man.
I'm being very honest right now. It's an interesting conversation, and yeah. So there's one other thing I wanted to kind of discuss this week. We've been doing a lot more as a company here at Main Gear of kind of branching out beyond just PCs. We're creating an ecosystem, and there was like a bunch of little bits of news about Google this week that kind of tied together to a narrative about that. Three things. They showed the new Pixel 4, which is like very divisive.
Well, I think it was leaked and then they embraced it,
which
right?
I love.
That was smart.
That was great.
Yeah, because last year's Google event was like, here's all this stuff that was leaked 40 weeks ago. Surprise, right. Nothing new.
Right.
And then it came out that, and I'm a favorite subject line for this story was, I'm going to actually read it, which is Google's 9th attempt at messaging service will be based on RCS.
The 9th attempt. There's really 9 messaging apps from Google.
This is from Ars Technica. Those guys would not exaggerate a number. Right. I trust those guys.
They listed all the services too. It's ridiculous.
And just for quick context, Google wants to have a competitor to iMessage, but because they're trying to be carrier friendly, because they really can't strong arm a carrier like Apple did essentially, they want to use an open platform that allows more rich experience with text that like iMessage, like read receipts, sending it over data, higher quality transfers.
It's never going to happen, dude.
So what they're doing is essentially they're creating their own RCS server. And so when you enable RCS, your text is going to go to the RCS server and then out through a text message.
But Google controls this.
It's their own Google server.
Yeah, there's a conflict right there.
It's not a great solution. There's problems with it. It's not encrypted. It's not true RCS, so the person on the other end isn't going to get the functionality. It just means that you'll be able to text over data, but you won't get read receipts and all that other stuff.
Well, and then what happens when Apple doesn't support it and it still sends SMS messages to iPhones?
I think Apple might be so Google's goal was to put Apple in a position where they had to, because the idea with RCS is that it replaces SMS, that the carriers would actually use this to
except they would
SMS.
Control the servers.
Well, their plan is for the carriers to do it.
Don't be evil.
I
mean, that doesn't sound right to me, dude.
Well, they're doing it because they're trying to speed up adoption of it. Like, not because the carriers just won't implement it. I think T-Mobile did, and like that's it in the United States.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly. And then one other news story about Google this week was about them abandoning the
slate.
Tablets. Essentially. Well, tablets as a whole category.
No, just their tablet, I thought. They're still supporting Android for their tablets.
I mean, them themselves abandoning hardware. And I think there's something interesting around this. We've been through the process of, you know, we've shown like our backpack and, you know, our chairs are doing really well. And I think there's something really interesting at looking at a company that is doing a lot of stuff without thought and kind of like Me Too products. And because Google's great when they try, but then they have these things that they just like throw against the wall and then abandon. And I think it's interesting to look at like how important an ecosystem is to a brand and to a business. I mean, how do you feel about your Apple stuff? We talked about it earlier. Like, you have the chunk of the ecosystem.
That's why I have an iPhone, and that's why I have my AirPods, and that's why I have an iWatch
Apple Watch.
Apple Watch. it works really well together. That's you know what I am. I can say whatever I want about the company. They do a fantastic job. Yeah. And I'm a technologist. and my approach is always to be non-biased and basically buy the best.
Yeah.
Jake.
And
Jake said, is that also why you have a HomePod?
No, the HomePod sucks, right? Yeah. So like I didn't buy a HomePod. I bought a Google Home. And it does everything I want to do.
The HomePod could be good if Siri was better.
It does have the best audio.
I'm generally curious. What
it is a good device. It's just Siri is not great.
We've never done this before. What is the split in our audience for Android versus iPhone? Let's get everybody.
Ready, go.
Everybody say.
80% iPhone.
Everybody, I'm going to say 70% Android.
What?
Yeah.
No.
And our audience, I'm going to say 70%.
Okay, we have one
Android.
iPhone, two iPhones.
Damn it.
Two Androids.
So four. So
now, three Androids.
Jake,
I'm keeping like a.
Jake is
going to have to keep
signing
track.
On and off on the messaging just so he can.
But I think
it's a good, 4-6 so far.
I think it's a good point. Like
it's probably pretty even.
We've taken so much care in even just the backpack that someone could use to carry our laptop, for example.
Which, by the way, guys, it will be available in
soon.
A month or less.
I don't know that we have a specific date yet.
You heard it here.
Can't wait. For
Hold Wallace accountable.
Wallace is like, well, now it has to come out in that time frame.
Such a good backpack.
That's how you get things done, right? Announce them live on stream. Yeah.
I have a different perspective now that we've gone through this process.
Okay, now people are just trolling and saying they use Blackberries.
I have a much different perspective having now kind of actively working on different things and like learning about what goes into making an ecosystem cohesive.
The thing is that we're a small business, right? And the same team is working on all the projects. So it's pretty easy for us to make sure that there's a cohesive message and design language and thought process and
yeah, that's a very fair point.
You know, across everything that we touch.
Yeah.
And we're not like launching like a ton of products every month, right? It's like, you know, every couple months or a couple times a year we're dropping products. And with a company the size of Google and Apple and that's where Apple does so well is they're able to keep their shit together.
Well, that's a good point though in regards to Apple is Apple doesn't release a lot of stuff.
They don't.
Either. Like they're very selective.
Yeah, that's right. And they do a good job
with
it.
It's not a ridiculous product category.
Except the Mac Pros, but yeah.
They're also a much smaller company in terms of people than Google.
Oh, sure. As far as like
and Apple manpower. Apple runs their business very much like a startup, even though it's like
okay.
multi-billion-dollar company.
So, I mean, just look at what Google did with this. I mean, 9 messaging services, really?
I know. It's real bad.
Like, why couldn't someone just say, hey, what the heck is this?
The thing like, that sucks because... is, like, Hangouts was actually pretty good, to be honest. Like, Hangouts was – it had text message integration, so it used just text. And if you were on Android and someone else was Hangouts, it would sense it and be on Hangouts mode.
And mm-hmm. if you don't want to force the phone manufacturers to adopt Hangouts, then they don't. But make sure it ships on your phone, right? On a Pixel, it should be natively baked into the Pixel phone.
Yeah.
And if I send, and what's going to happen is all the Apple guys are going to install Hangouts to communicate with the Android guys.
Well, they were, because Hangouts was used a lot by professionals. It was stupid to abandon it.
And now everybody just installs WhatsApp, so you have encryption.
And then someone, genius at Google, was like, oh, Hangouts is for business now, so we need to release, like, whatever we're going to call it.
Google, like, either you're paying for a product or you are the product, basically, as Steve Jobs said it, I think. Or Johnny, I don't know. One of the Apple people.
You're the one quoting it. Right?
I don't know quotes. Somebody at Apple said that, and in a keynote. That's why I remember it.
Okay.
But
did you write it down in your notebook?
Somebody from
time?
Apple in a Google keynote said it.
You took out your iPhone, you put it in your notes app. You're like, I'm gonna remember this for forever.
Should we just move on?
No. Keep going, Brent.
But so. I can't even gather my thoughts. But with Google, you know, they test with their users, and so they're much more likely to release something that might not work, more so than Apple would, right?
I'm okay with experiments, but not with pillar products.
Yeah.
Messaging is a pillar product of a phone.
Well, they need to figure it out.
It's different, like, oh, we did this cool thing called Google Lens that we're testing, and we're going to release it, you guys play with it, and then, like, now it's integrated into the camera app, and that's cool. Like, messaging is like your phone literally is like phone call, messaging, web browser, camera. Yeah. Like the any icon that's on the bottom,
make sure those
of your
work
phone,
really well.
Don't touch those. Don't screw around. Don't experiment.
Yeah, I agree.
Those are you do not like you don't screw around.
So when you buy your iPhone,
we had a multi-person heated argument at the end of the workday about. The service structure between Android and iPhone.
I heard Sean laughing in the other room. I guess he's watching the stream.
We're not gonna do that again. Brent doesn't like when we do the Android versus iPhone debate. So.
I'm just disappointed in Brent that he traded his iPhone 10 for a Pixel 3a.
It's underpowered.
I'm disappointed with him as well.
Yeah,
I'm actually very surprised.
Yeah, and he's a designer, and he likes things neat and beautiful, and then he gets a Pixel 3a.
Apple needs to fix some things. Like, Siri needs to be fixed. Like, just straight up, it's not good.
I agree. It's not good. It's not as good as Google. What's her name?
Assistant.
But, like, I give Google Assistant all my information. That's why it's good, too. So, like, there's a balance
that's true.
There.
I mean, I love Google Home. So, like, I have smart bulbs and all that stuff. I have – if you say, like, okay, Google, just ruined a bunch of people's lives. if you say that in the middle of my house, you hear, like, 4 beeps go off because, like, it's not that big of a house for that many of them. But
so it's the voice, and then it sounds really dumb, but, like – letting me hide apps on the home screen, like if they just,
I know I'm
like, I know I can make a folder and put it on the last page and put all the stuff that I don't want.
Our salesperson Nick is probably raging right now if he's listening to it.
And I never owned an Apple Watch or AirPods or any of that, so I wasn't getting the whole experience.
So you missed out on life.
If I had those, I probably would have stayed.
It's not that you would stay; it's that it works so good.
Yeah.
Like I had a Pixel phone with an Android. Was it Wear?
It's garbage.
No, and Android Wear.
It sucked, man. Yeah. Like, and then like, you know, just I tried the AirPods one time. And I'm like, okay, I'm buying an iPhone.
I know a lot of people use them on Android.
Yeah, but it just works so good when it's like native.
The bulk of it works now on Android. There's a third party app that does like the auto pausing with like Spotify. And
oh, stuff. Really?
Yeah,
that's awesome.
I'm the kind of person though that would own like a Pixel and then go buy like an iPad, AirPods, and an Apple Watch to like, just because I need Google Assistant.
I'll tell you, man, like if Google fixed the messaging on the Pixel and they created some good AirBuds and a good watch and a good ecosystem,
they should just work together and make
a
super
phone. Still
on
the, like, and I know I'm an outlier, but I'm still on the, like, I don't care about having an iMessage competitor. Like, I have a pain point that iMessage solves. But
no, you'll just use Facebook Messenger.
Like, I use Facebook Messenger with my friends, and then the rest is text messages, which I don't care if it's the color of
how
the
does bulb. Your wife of like video conference
Facebook
you?
Messenger.
Yeah, did you ever pay attention to the quality compared to FaceTime?
Facebook Messenger works surprisingly well.
I use it, I know, but it's not that good compared to FaceTime. FaceTime is much better.
I barely want to like look at anyone anyway, so like the times I have to, I'm not too concerned about the
It's funny because you know.
Wait, guys... aren't we talking about calling your wife? I don't think that's the yeah. argument you want to go okay, with. Okay,
thank you, lawyer. Yes, I'd like to retract that statement.
No, all my friends like, there's like, I'm Brazilian and. Most of my Brazilian friends, they love FaceTiming.
That's super weird to me.
They FaceTime. They don't call me. They don't message me. They'll FaceTime
that's
me.
That's so weird.
And it's just a cultural
thing. My wife's friends do that, too.
It's just FaceTime.
I would block their phone number and never talk to them ever again.
So, I just need to have an iPhone, man. But
I think that's going to be it for this week. We didn't get through the last topic, but that's okay.
That's fine.
We should end the show. Thank you so much, guys, for tuning in. Make sure to, if you want to hear this in audio, go to your favorite podcast platform. I'm currently subscribed via Pocket Cast, which is my favorite podcast service. So it's on iTunes and every other service as well, on Spotify too, which has gotten people are angry about, but it's easier to access your podcast on. So definitely, if you don't use Spotify for podcasts, it's a little bit simpler to see all of your shows in one kind of screen now. And if you're interested in buying a PC, we currently have, which is expiring soon, a big Ryzen sale, up to $200 off a Ryzen system, a bunch of different free games, free shipping on our former chairs. So just go to our website and you can check that out. And if you like this content, make sure to tune in to our gaming show on Wednesdays at 5, Oblivious with Nick and Brent.
Yeah,
you should add with Nick.
I saw like a photo of like confetti on his face. Or oh, this, like that.
This go watch the VOD.
Definitely watch this week's.
Oh my god, this I can't. Week's, I gotta watch it.
There is a
by far the most ridiculous show we've ever produced.
Yes,
I have to police it then.
Nick was cleaning up our set for like a half an hour.
He's like throwing like confetti on his face. I just saw the screenshot. I'm like, what the heck is that? Is he in a party or something?
There was a little bit of a throwdown. We're preparing for the Nuber Bowl, the StarCraft.
Yeah, Brent, do you want to talk about that first?
Yes. So, sometime in July, because we're still working out the timings with our shoutcaster from our community, but Nick, who is the star of Oblivious, and our other. I don't know if I'd call him a non-gamer, but...
I'm going to say this because I'm the one who can.
Okay, you can say it. We'll put the camera on you.
I'm going to say bro gamer.
Bro gamer, there you go. And our bro gamer, Jason Chandler, are going to battle it out.
Bro gamers are guys who only play Call of Duty and Madden.
He only plays Forza, so that's fair.
Okay.
Yeah. They're going to battle it out in some classic StarCraft, and it's going to be hilarious.
It's
going to
be bad in, the best way.
And things are escalating, as you saw on this past episode of Oblivious.
You know, we're going to have to do, a supercut of, the story leading up to the Nuber Bowl.
Oh, it's going to be full production.
Problem is that, they're both very competitive.
Yeah.
And especially Jason, Jason's super competitive.
Oh yeah, right? Yeah.
So it's gonna.
I'll have my finger on the sensor button.
Crosstalk happening in the shop.
We're gonna have it properly shoutcasted too. This is a serious production.
Who's shoutcasting? Is it Charles or you?
Another Notch is gonna come and shoutcast.
Oh really?
Yeah. Oh no, yeah. We're doing this.
Oh, this is legit.
This is proper.
Yeah.
That's awesome. This is super. They're not gonna be able to hear each other.
That's cool.
Jake said the other day Jason slashed all of Nick's tires.
It's fun and games.
Yeah.
definitely tune in Wednesdays and go watch this week's stream.
Yeah, for sure.
And if you want to see what we think about E3, we did a really great podcast last week kind of talking about our thoughts of our own E3 awards.
Yeah,
I won't spoil anything, although it's pretty obvious who won every category. I think Wallace almost immediately spoiled it as soon as it started. He's like, is there even a point to this? Awesome. I think that's it, guys.
Peace.
Peace out, everybody.